This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. This Saturday night, San Antonio will know who will be mayor going forward. Either incumbent Ivy Taylor or District 8 Councilman Ron Nuremberg. And it's up to you to decide. Both candidates are here to ask for your vote and to make a case for their vision for San Antonio's future. We have some voicemail questions and questions from email. If you got an email question for us, you can send it to thesource@tpr.org. Texas Public Radio News Director Shelley Koffler is here. She's going to be asking questions. You can also watch the video broadcast of this debate on Facebook Live on the Texas Public Radio Facebook wall. Each candidate gets 90 seconds to answer a question. If a candidate characterizes the other's position or their character on an issue, then we are opening it to a response to keep it fair. Also, Shelley Koffler and I might ask some follow-up questions. And a reminder that Texas Public Radio News will be covering Election Night returns live Saturday night, and we will have reports around town bringing you the numbers and the reaction to the election returns. Tune in Saturday night for San Antonio Decides. So let's get started, and Shelley Koffler, News Director, has the first question.
And thank you to both of you for being with us today. This is an important opportunity for our voters to hear from both of you. With a flip of a coin, we determined that Ron Nuremberg, you will take the first question. So I want to ask you, San Antonio Police acknowledge they currently have 196 vacancies for fully trained officers when they usually have about 50 to 70. This comes at a time when an FBI report ranks San Antonio near the bottom of all U.S. cities for the number of officers per capita. So, Councilman, you've said that one of the answers to this is to begin negotiations on the future police contract because you say it is unbalanced. What do you mean by that? And are you suggesting that police salaries and benefits be cut?
So what I mean by that, and first, thank you to the listeners. Thank you to you, Dave and Shelley, for having us on this afternoon. And good morning and good afternoon to the listeners out there. What I mean by that is that San Antonio, the city council, the city staff, and the police officers union were engaged in a very tense negotiation to achieve one primary fiscal objective, and that is to get a contract that is structurally balanced. At the time of the negotiations, we knew that expenses within public safety were rising 2.5 times faster than city revenues. So the objective there was to achieve balance so that the department can grow at the same rate as the city. That is a challenge because we do have too few officers in the department. We have one of the lowest officers per capita of any big city in the country, and we know we have vacancies. Now, the contract that the mayor pushed on to council after interjecting herself into a mediation process achieved none of those objectives for structural balance. That creates a huge challenge for us as a city to grow the department at that rate. I'm less interested in wages and benefits than I am in making sure that we have a structurally balanced contract that can grow as the city grows.
So how do you do that, though? If you don't cut salaries and benefits, how do you get more money to hire the officers?
We have to look at what is in the contract. There's lots of stuff in the contract that is in addition to salaries and benefits, and that is the stuff of negotiators. And what I have told Mike Kelly and the police union is that it is not good faith negotiation to do it during press conferences and press releases. That goes for both sides, the city staff as well as to the unions. And what we saw last week with the union's endorsement of Mayor Taylor is pretty typical political stuff that happens during election season. It does not move this city forward. I'm still committed to good faith negotiations with our union.
Mayor, I want to ask you, in your advertising, you've been saying that you think you take credit for hiring more officers when we have this big gap in hiring. But I also want to give you the opportunity to respond to Mr. Nuremberg about the contract, whether it's structurally imbalanced, and whether you feel comfortable with what we have.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to have us on to discuss these important issues. Of course, public safety is a top concern for me, as it is for our citizens, and I'm proud of the record that I've established on this issue. I don't think we would be in a position to be able to be thoughtful about how we can increase the number of officers on the street and improve police service if we had not resolved the contractual dispute. So I am proud that I was able to break through the stalemate of related to that contract and get us to the point where we could move forward. And as far as the councilman's assessment, it doesn't quite make sense to me because, first off, I don't see how he'd be able to move forward in working with the police, being that he voted against their contracts. I don't think he has the relationships established to be able to work together with them there. But in addition, as you noted, Shelley, wages and benefits account for the majority of the dollars in the contract. So the objective that we had set out was that we wanted to achieve cost savings in relation to the health care portion, that we wanted officers to contribute to the cost of health care for their families, and that is the objective that we achieved, resulting in millions of dollars in savings for the taxpayers in San Antonio and allowing us to turn the page and be able to move forward on all these other issues.
Just real quickly again, Mayor, in your ad you said you're taking credit for hiring more officers. How can you do that when we have a gap, vacancies that is three times higher than what the chief normally says we have?
In order to be able to move forward with filling the vacancies that we have and moving forward with those cadet classes, we needed to be able to move past the contract. I think that was a major turning point for our community. If we had not done that, we would probably still be in court in a dispute with a police officer. So I stand by that decision, and I believe we're in a good position. I have spoken with Mike Kelly about several of the challenges that we have, and I appreciate the fact that he has confidence in working with me in order to move the department forward and fill vacancies.
Well, you've each said something about each other so very quickly. I think our moderator will be okay if you each have a brief response.
Well, what the mayor said is just flatly wrong. This was in an independent mediation when she interjected herself into it. And the fact of the matter is it's not saving taxpayer dollars. This contract is $20 million over budget by year five. And the whole reason why we're having this issue of how can we move forward is because we have not moved forward under Mayor Taylor. And the results are clear. Under her tenure, our murder rate is up 107%. Under her tenure, our violent crime rate is up 22%. Under her tenure, we have 196 vacancies. Under her tenure, we have one of the lowest officers per capita
in
the country.
Well, you're also a councilman, Mr. Norman.
Right, which is why I made my case to the council during the contract negotiation that we cannot put in a structurally imbalanced deal, which costs public safety, costs officer safety, and does not move this city forward. This is what went wrong with the contract negotiation, and she can't take credit for solving the problems that have only gotten worse.
Well, everything he said is just twisting of the facts. If anyone will look at the record, first off, he can't say that we're over the budget because we have not negotiated the firefighter contract. So for him to say that we're over is premature. For him to say that there's no cost savings is factually incorrect because we achieved quite a bit, millions of dollars of cost savings as a result of having the officers to pitch in for their family's health care. And yes, I did intervene because the staff was following direction that had been set during the previous administration, which was focused on resolving this in court. And I felt that we could sit down with our officers and that we could achieve a resolution, and we did that.
One final point on this. Council, with the mayor's support, moved on that negotiation to move it into the courts. The mayor had support. The mayor pushed that lawsuit and was part of that lawsuit. To say that she didn't agree with it is clearly flip-flopping on that issue. And her political consultant was in council chambers watching the council pass this contract. So it was done for political expediency alone.
Mayor Taylor, last word.
Basically, what I would say is that the councilman has selective memory. The path was set on this before I entered the mayor's office. There was basically a desire to take this to court. And so during my first months in office, We continued with the strategy that had been outlined, and when we determined that it was not going to get us to where we needed to be, when it was dragged out and was not moving the city forward, that's where I intervened to take us in a different direction that did result in a contract, that did result in a strong relationship with police, and did result in savings.
Okay, let's go to our voicemail bank, and we have a question. And Ron Nirenberg, you will have 90 seconds to respond, and then Mayor Ivy Taylor.
This is Judith. Question for the mayor's candidates. What in your background qualifies you to be mayor?
Okay, so Ron, okay, Mayor Taylor goes first.
Okay. Well, I come to you very well prepared for the job, having a degree from Yale, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in city planning, having served for 6 years as a city employee, spent almost 2 years on the Planning Commission, worked at a nonprofit that was working to provide housing in our community, and then served as 5 years as the city council member for District 2, and now I've been in office as your mayor for almost 3 years. So I've gained quite a bit of experience and perspectives, having worked both in the private sector, public sector behind the scenes, and the nonprofit sector, and have brought all that experience to bear and have proven that I'm a consensus builder and a listener and the only candidate that's demonstrated that I can get things done for the city of San Antonio.
All right, Councilman Nirenberg, please.
Well, I come in as an independent, someone who is interested in improving their community, and something that we should demonstrate more is that anyone who is interested in improving their community in San Antonio should take a chance and pursue public service. But I worked for almost a decade at the Annenberg Public Policy Center doing municipal policy research around the country, civic engagement work around the country in 22 different cities. I've been the city councilman in District 8 for the last 4 years, and that is a place in our city which is one of the fastest growing places in the entire state of Texas, if not the country, and a place where the diversity most closely matches the city as a whole. If it happens in the city, it's happening in District 8, and I was reelected by virtue of my strong record by 73% in 2015. I know what I believe, and I'm unafraid to risk my personal political capital to do the right thing. I have a vision for this city, to lead this city into the future, and most importantly, I stand on a firm foundation of ethics and integrity that is unimpeachable. And this is important because most importantly, we need to have a vision for this city that takes us into the future on transportation issues, on housing issues, on economic development. I ask folks to examine our records. You will see a record of achievement and distinction that we've had in District 8. And that's what we need to stand on is ethics, integrity, and making sure that we have a record of achievement into the mayor's office. And that's what I look forward to bringing.
Shelley Coffler has another question.
Yes, we have an email from a listener who wants to know if both of you support or oppose San Antonio joining a lawsuit to prevent the implementation of the Sanctuary Cities ban. That's what we decided to do last week as a city, was to sue the state for that. Mayor Taylor, there was no public discussion or vote in an open session, so voters would know how council members consented to this lawsuit. You sent out an email on Friday, I believe it was, saying you opposed the lawsuit because San Antonio should have coordinated more closely with other Texas cities. So let me ask you, do you personally support or oppose the law as being good for the city and the state, the lawsuit against Sanctuary Cities ban?
I'm sorry, are you asking about the law or the lawsuit?
The lawsuit. Do you personally support or oppose the law itself?
Okay, I've been clear on the law that I oppose the law, that we heard from our police chief that it would not assist us in living up to our responsibility to the citizens of San Antonio, which is ensuring that our police officers are focused on fighting crime and not enforcing immigration law. However, I am was not supportive of us moving forward with the lawsuit at this time against the state. I had personally spoken with the mayors of Houston, Dallas, and Austin regarding this issue, and we felt that we'd be able to have more of an impact if we work together towards a solution and a strategy on that. And in addition, with a special session potentially looming, I thought it made more sense for us to, again, look at working with the big cities when other issues are resolved rather than taking that up when there are still issues that can impact San Antonio before the legislature.
So if Houston, Dallas, and Austin are in, do you then support the lawsuit?
Well, I don't know. At this point, what we discussed was that we should develop a strategy together as the big cities in relation to this law so that we can refocus our officers on fighting crime within our city. So unfortunately, the council has decided that they'd prefer to join the lawsuit. So at this point, I'm not sure if that would impact the other cities' decisions because of the fact that we're working with MALDEF, and I don't know what their disposition would be in that regard.
Councilman Nuremberg, same question. You sent out a statement on Friday saying you support the lawsuit to block the sanctuary cities ban. Why do you feel that's important? Do we need to work with the other cities first? Were we premature?
No, I agree with local law enforcement that it was bad legislation before it was signed, and it's bad legislation after it was signed. I agree with local law enforcement. And the next step in the democratic system of checks and balances is to do what we are doing. Much like the preemptive lawsuit against the city of Austin that the state filed, I hope that there is a fast and final resolution of the constitutionality of this law so that we can make sure that we get back to doing what we do as local law enforcement, which is fighting crime on our streets. And that is something that we are having a huge challenge on. So, no, I have no misgivings about it. And frankly, it's frustrating to listen to the mayor of the seventh largest city in the United States not know what she believes on this issue. She's trying to speak out of both sides of her mouth on this and shows a fundamental lack of understanding of how the legislative process works. If we were sincere in our opposition to this legislation and having our police chief go and testify against it, this is clearly a stalling tactic because this has been signed by the governor. To suggest that he's going to call a special session on this topic is just to ignore the realities of the legislative process. And frankly, it seems that she and a minority of council members are more interested in getting their money for glass walls around the Alamo before they will address this issue.
All right, so we'll give Mayor Taylor an opportunity to respond to that. And so I think he's alluding to something that's been out there that there's concern that Governor Greg Abbott could veto the money for the Alamo if San Antonio went forward with this lawsuit. So can you address, respond to the characterizations, and also is that a legitimate concern?
Well, of course, I will certainly disagree with the characterization that the councilman just offered related to my decision making as well as my understanding of the issues. I, again, have spoken with the mayors of all the major cities, and they seem to have the same assessment as me, so I'm not quite sure where the councilman is coming from. I think a pragmatic approach in this position as mayor, pragmatic approach really is necessary, and I'm representing a city of diverse attitudes and diverse constituents, all of whom may not view this law and the potential lawsuit through the same lens that he does. I have a responsibility to all of the citizens. I also have a responsibility to be concerned about the other issues that we have pending in the legislature. So yes, I think it certainly makes sense to keep that in mind as well, and to proceed cautiously as a result. And I'm not the only one that thinks that way. So several of the other elected officials that I've spoken with view things in the same manner.
So I think that I need to ask this question then. Have you been contacted by the governor's office in any way that would suggest that by San Antonio filing this lawsuit, somehow that would put the Alamo funding in jeopardy?
No, I've not, and I wouldn't expect to have been contacted by the governor's office.
But this is just something that you think might be a concern.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ron Nuremberg, why did you raise that issue?
Well, because it's clear that this is just she is showing a fundamental lack of leadership and understanding of the legislative process, and is fishing for excuses of how to appease all sides of an issue. This is about leadership. This is about being consistent about where we are on an issue. our local law enforcement, from Dallas, Houston, Austin, El Paso, every big city in this state and around this country have opposed this law before it was signed. And now that it's signed and not gone into effect, this is how the system of checks and balances works in this country. Now we are doing the next step in fighting bad legislation. And look, the city of Austin has already joined in. They were preemptively sued by the state of Texas. This is not a lawsuit that will cost taxpayer dollars. There is no reason for us not to be consistent with our position and show some leadership as a city and as a community.
Okay, now let's go to, we're talking about the Alamo in a way here. So let's go ahead and go to a voicemail question along that line.
My name is Michael. I personally oppose the changes that they're planning to make to the Alamo. I think it is very important that the candidates, including the candidates for mayor, state what their feeling is regarding this and what they plan to do if they are elected, to either continue with the current plan or to change it back to the old way.
All right, the Alamo redesign, and let's go to Ron Nirenberg to respond. 90 seconds, sir.
Yeah, and I think our opportunity to state clearly where we were as a city and as a city council on this issue was when we passed the master plan. Now, it's important to note that the master plan is a process, sets in motion the committee that will work to finalize the designs of the Alamo master plan. And that is what's taking place. We pursued the planning process, and now we have to make clear what our positions are. I've been clear. I believe that the walls need to come down. I believe that we need to recognize the sanctity and the reverence that is that place in our city's history and return some of the original footprint, but also respect the 300-plus year history of the San Antonio Missions. Part of that history is the fact that it's been a public place for gathering and civil disobedience over the course of our years. I don't believe it's right to move our First Amendment area into one spot away from the Alamo grounds. I also believe the trees need to stay. I believe that we need to make sure that there is enough pedestrian, local pedestrian, and vehicular movement around the Alamo. Those are my values. Now that my values have been stated as a course of my vote, we will watch closely as this is conducted through a partnership between the city and the state. But our important moment for addressing the values that we have as a mayor took place when we had that vote.
Now, Mayor Ivy Taylor.
Well, I'm very excited and committed to moving forward with the partnership that we have with the state, with the General Land Office. So when we took action at City Council, you know, I felt comfortable with what we adopted at that time, a framework for the plan that did include some specifics related to the street closure, moving the cenotaph, and reclaiming the footprint. I'm committed to additional public outreach and discussion in determining what's the best method for actually physically representing what that footprint might be, whether that would be a glass wall or some other type of you know, way to demonstrate that footprint that is historically accurate and also sensitive. So I understand the place that the Alamo plays in San Antonio's history and culture, but we also have to recognize that, you know, it belongs to the nation, to the world, and plays a key role in history. So while I understand that change may be difficult and uncomfortable, I think that there are some great opportunities for us to enhance what we have and also still recognize and continue those opportunities for people to view that as key public civic space here in San Antonio.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Saturday night, San Antonio will know who will be the mayor going forward will be. We are joined by the candidates, incumbent Ivy Taylor and District 8 Councilmember Ron Nirenberg. It's up to you to decide when you need to go vote. Now let's go to Shelley Koffler with another question for our candidates.
I'd like to talk a little bit about an issue that has separated you two historically, and that is annexation. And I'd like to talk about it in the context of Senate Bill 715, which the city successfully opposed in the legislature. That legislation would have prohibited San Antonio from annexing property outside the city limits unless they first allowed property owners to vote on whether they wanted to be annexed. It's almost certain that measure is going to come up again. And one of our listeners asked in an email, do you support forced annexation? This listener believes that the city already has the tools to control development around military bases, which was what the city cited as the primary reason for needing the right to annex neighborhoods. So, Councilman Nirgmerg, let me start with you. Do you support what this listener views as forced annexation, the right of the city to annex neighborhoods without first asking the neighbors if they want to be annexed?
Yeah, and I think that question is in reference to a right to vote in those areas before annexation occurs. And I've been clear on this. I do support their right to vote. Now, that requires a legislative fix. And that fix was on its way. In conference, we actually had a compromise bill worked out, or the legislators did, that would have also had adequate military protections. I do disagree with the questioner, however, that we have adequate military protections around all of our bases. This is not also just about Bullis. This is about Lackland and Randolph as well. And so we had worked out a fair compromise in conference that would protect our military bases, but also provide for a right to vote. And due to probably pressures from the building industry, that amendment was stripped. When it came out, it was providing a bill that would not adequately protect our military installations. And frankly, there's a $47 billion regional impact from our military installations. This is not something we can be careless about. I will still support good legislation that provides for a right to vote, but we cannot do that and compromise our military installations at the same time.
So this amendment you're talking about is Representative Gutierrez's amendment.
Correct.
It was taken out when it went back to the Senate. If that had stayed in, you would have supported Bill 715.
I would have, yes.
Okay. Mayor Taylor, the same question. This listener is concerned that there would be forced annexation if the bill failed. Do you support the city's right to forcibly annex neighborhoods?
Yes, I do support the rights that the city has right now as far as our ability to annex. You know, I believe that if you look historically at San Antonio, the reason that we have the size and fiscal strength that we have right now is partly due to annexation over the years. So I believe that that's a tool that we should continue to have in our toolbox, though I don't believe that we should use it indiscriminately. And so during this last round of annexations, we worked really hard to strike a good balance in relation to what we could take on and how we could work as a great partner in the region to see if there were other smaller cities that were interested in some of the other areas. And we did work out a deal with Converse to address some areas that had been underserved. So I think it's a tool that we can't just use with blunt force. But we also have to recognize the fact that people that live in our region benefit in many ways from the many amenities and strengths that San Antonio has to offer. And I find it hard to imagine a scenario where folks would voluntarily annex. So if I look at our history, I wonder what would San Antonio look like today if everyone had had to approve coming into the city. But again, it's something that we have to use judiciously.
Thank you.
Now, got an email question. Will the candidates join the mayors of 187 other cities across the nation, including Houston, Dallas, and Austin, in abiding by the Paris Climate Change Agreement? San Antonio is in a unique position with two city-owned utilities, water and power. Should it become a stronger leader in this time fighting against climate change? And let's go with Ron Nirenberg first.
Okay. Well, I look forward to continuing the work with other cities on this issue. I do believe that we should be working hard at CPS and SAWS to advance our leadership in renewables and so forth. I have worked on those efforts at the local level by chairing the SA Tomorrow effort and being strong on renewables and sustainability efforts through water quality and air quality initiatives. We do need to be a leader in this. And I worked on it at the national level. I was the chairman of the National League of Cities Energy Environment Natural Resources Committee when we coalesced around cities leading on this issue and actually sent people to Paris to make sure that this happened. So, yes, San Antonio needs to be a leader. I have continued to advocate for a stronger position from CPS and will continue to do so as your mayor.
Does that mean that you would support maybe a resolution saying that San Antonio is in agreement with the Paris Agreement?
I believe that we should be joining with other cities. But look, this is not about a signature on a piece of paper. This is about making sure that we have a strong position because we have the largest municipally owned utility in the country. We have to make sure that we are driving a renewable agenda, a sustainable agenda, and that is my record, and that is what I will continue to push for.
Mayor Taylor.
Well, during my time of service, I've learned not to wait on Washington, D.C. to address the challenges that we have here locally in San Antonio. So I commit that we'll continue to work toward meeting the goals that we've set out in SA Tomorrow. Yes, we do have several aggressive goals in our sustainability plan in order to increase the number of green buildings and infrastructure here and to protect our natural resources, air and water, and to increase our tree canopy cover and also reduce residential solid waste, which is something that we've been working on for some time. So I'm certainly committed to that. So I'll stay focused on what our goals are here at the local level. And if there are ways to work here within our region. And I certainly urge people who feel really, really strongly about this that we all need to also work with our congressional delegation as far as any federal policy.
So the same follow-up question, should San Antonio then put forth a resolution saying that we are in agreement with the Paris Accord?
I'm more focused on the plans that we already have in place. Certainly we'll look into it, but I think that it's more important for us to actually follow through on the plans that we have in place that address the environment here in San Antonio.
All right. Shelley Coffler.
I'd like to go back to the law enforcement issue and really talk about it in the context of the budget. The city has said that a maximum of 66% of the budget should be spent on public safety. Do you think that percentage should be raised, or should you consider raising it to provide more money for hiring officers and perhaps to pay them more competitively? Mayor Taylor.
Well, I think that that's certainly something that we can discuss. You know, it is difficult given the wide range of services and responsibilities that we have to the citizens in order to stay within that budget. But I know one thing that I'm very interested in, and I've been talking with the police chief and the manager about it for some time, that will have a budgetary impact, is increasing the number of safe officers, and that's the San Antonio fear-free environment, the more community-oriented policing. I think that what I hear from citizens is that they're very interested in having officers in place who know their neighborhood, know the people who live there and can be proactive instead of just responding to calls. I'm hoping during the next budget discussion that we'll be able to get a better idea of exactly what the budgetary impact would be and how we can phase in more safe officers. That would be something that would cause me to look at how we currently have the pie divvied up, because I think that's very important for us to increase the number of safe officers and the number of officers in general.
Same question, Councilman Nuremberg. Would you consider raising the maximum 66% of the budget that's spent on public safety to pay officers more and to attract more officers?
So it's important first to talk about where the 66% came from. The only reason why that number is held up as the gold standard is because we recognized back in 2014 that the revenues were growing at 2.5 times less, or the expenses were growing at 2.5 times faster than revenues. The 66% was where we were. So we recognize that the need to achieve structural balance within our contract. That's why we have the 66%. Under the new contract, it's exceeding that by year 5. So we still are not structurally balanced. I am less concerned about what that number is, as long as we can make sure that in the future years, in the out years of the contract, that we have expenses growing at the same rate as revenues. That's the only thing that's important, so we can maintain proportion. I do want to hire more officers. I will focus on that as a priority, both within SAFE and other elements of our vice activities, but to overall grow size of the police force, because that's important not just for public safety, but for officer safety, and that's a recruitment issue. When we have officers in some parts of the city, they have to drive at extreme speeds, at 10 miles between calls. That's not safe for them. And it certainly is not attributing to public safety. So we need to make sure that we have enough on our staff and our personnel to make that happen. And we can only do that. Less focus on 66%, more focus on the structural balance of the contract.
Thank you.
We are also broadcasting this debate on Facebook Live. You can find it on our TPR Facebook wall, where we have both candidates in the runoff for San Antonio mayor, incumbent Ivy Taylor with us, and District 8 Councilmember Ron Nuremberg. This is a question about San Antonio's tech industry. Recently, the city has seen a mixed picture of the growth of technology sector, with the layoffs at Rackspace earlier this year, followed by the retention and expansion of tech companies like Capture RX, and also the growing tech district downtown, and the selection by the video streaming company Hulu to expand into San Antonio. What does San Antonio need to do to support the tech community, the tech industry, going forward? Mayor Ivy Taylor.
Okay, well, yes, I've really enjoyed the opportunity to work closely with folks in the tech industry. This is a key area where I think we have lots of opportunities for our city to grow, and I've been encouraged by some of the progress, like you had just mentioned, the fact that Hulu is going to be bringing their customer viewing experience operations here to San Antonio. Another thing that we've partnered with tech folks on is the creation of Cass Tech High School, and that speaks to the second part of your question, which is what is it that we need to do in order to promote the tech industry here? And I think a large part of that is ensuring that we have a talent pipeline in order to be able to support those companies that are being created. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to sit down and have an early morning meal that we called a tech fest with some of the leaders in the tech industry. And I had a chance to hear firsthand from them about the kind of things that we need to work on in order to grow the industry here. Some of that included making more venture capital readily available in order to help those firms to grow. Some of it was related to workforce development. I've been proud to sponsor the mayor's challenge related to cybersecurity, where we're working with our high schoolers to get them in the queue for that kind of stuff for the future. But also ensuring that we have great quality of life and a vibrant downtown, I think, is also very important to tech workers and something that I've demonstrated my commitment to over the years.
Ron Nuremberg.
I think we need to focus on STEM and STEAM careers within our educational community on the public and private side. We need to focus on what the city can do to help facilitate the growth of a STEM workforce. In addition to that, I think we need to refocus the strategy of economic development around technology and other pillar industries that we know are being formed in San Antonio. Less about bureaucrats sitting around the room divvying up tax incentives and abatements and ultimately producing call centers and warehouses, and more about us using our leadership as a city to show the available workforce pipeline, to show the business climate, to show the fact that we have infrastructure growth, to bring companies to San Antonio that are going to produce some of the high-tech jobs. It is extremely important that we also build a city through leadership that is advancing us on issues of transportation. The tech community and the city in general needs a connected city to work, and that's why I've been bold and forward on the issue of connecting the city to transportation through a mass transit system that will ultimately be in front of voters to approve. And finally, we have to make sure that we also look out for cost of living. It's on the rise, and a lot of the tech workforce is younger people looking to purchase their first home, invest in this city for the first time, and we need to make sure that we have available housing that is affordable for people. And that has become a huge challenge in the city of San Antonio.
News Director Shelley Koffler.
I want to ask a transportation-related question. This goes first to Councilman Nirenberg. The mayor, city manager, some of the other council members have had preliminary discussions on hiring a private company to manage our municipal airport. Would privatization address some of the concerns that have come up about more nonstop flights, better connecting flights, lower ticket prices? Would you favor privatizing the municipal airport?
Well, first, I would have to see the results of their analysis. It has not been presented to City Council. And let me tell you first, there is a high bar to reach before I would take a public asset and put it into private sector hands. There is a high bar. The City of San Antonio needs to do better in its airport now. And we need to stop making excuses that we have made for the airport. The reason why we don't have many direct flights is because we don't have a business market that the market demands those flights. So we have to continue to produce jobs that are going to drive the growth of those flights. I was in the room in the City Council chambers during our work session when our aviation director said we are not landlocked. The growth of our airport can still occur at the current international location, and that is a strategic competitive advantage for the City of San Antonio. We are a top 10 city where you can fly directly into the heart of it, and you're within 15 minutes of any major business, neighborhood, or a place that you would want to visit. That's an important advantage that we need to recognize. Now, we need to grow direct flights by building all the other elements of the city and ensuring that we're working with the FAA to address any flight pattern issues.
Mayor Taylor, where are we with that discussion on potential privatization, and how are you sensing what you've heard?
Well, there have just been a few briefings on privatization. I've been in a few of them, but I don't believe there's any comprehensive report that's been prepared for the council. Judge Wolf and I have established an air service infrastructure task force that will begin meeting shortly. We've been contacting folks and asking them to serve on that task force to give us the opportunity to look at questions like that, not just privatization, but whether or not we should have an airport authority or if we should, you know, continue under the management with the city staff, and also to look at what the possibilities are indeed at the footprint that we currently have for San Antonio International, whether it might make sense for the future to join forces with another jurisdiction, or whether, you know, we should contemplate the idea of building a new airport for San Antonio in another location. I think those are all questions that deserve thoughtful and strategic contemplation and discussion, as well as data analysis, in order for us to determine what's the best path forward, even as we continue to maintain the current airport that we have, as well as seek opportunities for additional direct flights to our existing airport.
Okay, a question here. A lot of cities in the United States are having discussions about what to do with their Confederate monuments and memorials. We saw New Orleans take down some of theirs recently. San Antonio has a couple of high-profile Confederate memorials, monuments. The conversation usually is take down, don't take down, but there's also a third option, which is add to them, tell more of the story. So obviously there's a conversation to be had in the city about that. So Mayor Taylor, can you talk to me about where do you see, what kind of conversation should we be having?
Well, frankly, I have a lot of other priorities that I'm focusing on. I think there are many other issues that are more pressing for the city, though I certainly understand that there are folks for whom, you know, this is important. And as an African American, I certainly can understand that perspective. And so of the choices that you gave, I would say telling more of the story is probably more important than trying to erase certain snapshots of our histories, distasteful though they may be. And so I certainly believe that telling fuller stories is can benefit all of us. And if there's a group that comes forward that has a plan for specific areas, then I would certainly entertain that. But it's not something where I have taken the lead, because frankly I'm more focused on some of the other critical issues for our city.
Ron Nirenberg.
Well, anyone interested in this discussion ought to read the transcript of Mayor Landrieu out of New Orleans, quite eloquent and clear in his presentation that this is an issue for people, even if they're not aware of it. I have immigrants and people who are considered other in all parts of my family's history. So certainly this is an issue that I'm watching very closely. And my commitment is this. There is no discussion happening right now. We need to have a discussion about it, and I will help facilitate that. This is not a decision that should be made unilaterally out of the mayor's office, but it is important that the mayor take a lead in convening the community on such a sensitive topic. And look, if it is as the mayor says, these are symbols of racism or whatever it is. These are issues that we need to take up as our community, and I look forward to doing that as a mayor.
Shelley Coffler.
We've talked a lot about public policy initiatives. I want to talk just a little bit about you now and what you bring to the job. Voters also want to know about your character, your values, how you make decisions. So tell us one thing, Mayor Taylor, that you've done in your private life that will give us an indication about the kind of character you bring to the mayor's office. Something you've done that tells us about you.
Oh, well, that's an interesting way of putting the question. Something I've done personally that tells you about me, I'm not quite sure, but I guess most folks can relate to the fact that being a parent is probably a key lens that kind of changes the way you approach things and the way you view the world. So I think most folks know Morgan's 13, and San Antonio has watched her grow up. She accompanies me to a lot of events. Actually, she's been with me most of the morning. She's not here right now. But I think, of course, my focus on her and ensuring that the city that we are creating is one where she would want to live and thrive and create a family is something that folks can look to as an indication of who I am and the character that I have. But I also believe that people can look at the way I've handled myself in the mayor's office in seeking to bring people together and seeking to listen to people, even if they assume that I may disagree, and in focusing on getting things done, recognizing that I can never satisfy everyone. And I think that's one approach, that does go back to parenting. At the end of the day that you can't always do what they want you to do, but you have to do what needs to get done. And that's the approach that I take to being mayor.
Same question, Councilman Nuremberg. Tell us about something that you've done in your private life that gives us an indication about your values and the character you'd bring to the office.
Well, you asked me how I make decisions, and really decisions that I make in my private life or in my public life as a city councilman is, will it meet the bar that my wife and my son set for me? I go home every night and I have to look my son in the eye and tell him that all the time I've spent away from him as he's been growing up has been worth it, and that he can be proud of the name that I leave him. That's the standard that I try to meet, and I believe that I have. Making them both proud is my first primary objective as a city councilman, and will continue to be as my mayor. And if you knew Erica or Jonah, you'd understand why. But one decision that I was fortunate to make as a city councilman early in my career still rings true to me and helps people understand where I am on issues. You may remember the non-discrimination ordinance in the city of San Antonio. It was very contentious and very divisive rhetoric that came to City Hall. I was a brand new council member, and I got calls from my community, which is very diverse, threatening me that I would be a one-term council member if I voted my conscience, which is to support non-discrimination and to stand with our community and the LGBTQ community. I stood with them anyways because I had to make a decision of whether or not I was so interested in staying in the seat of city council, or if I was interested in making sure that the time that I had there, I made right, good decisions. And so I chose that however long or short I'm blessed to be a council member or a mayor, I will stand and do the right thing.
All right. One last question, and then we'll have the closing comments. And this is a real quick question. Maybe you can keep your answer to about 45 seconds. And Mayor Taylor, where are we with the, because this is an issue that's come up through all of the debates that we've had with all the city council candidates, the dog problem that we have in San Antonio. So where are we with the animal control ordinance and changes to that?
We've been making progress, definitely, since the time that I've been on the council. We've been making progress on many fronts. I know for some folks, the priority is ensuring that we reduce the euthanization rate, that we have more live releases. And for others, we're more focused on public safety, ensuring we can walk the street without being chased by dogs. And so we've made progress on both accounts, and we have quite a few partnerships that have helped to advance our goals on both ends. But most important, I think, is stepping up our public education, and that's what I've pushed for, because ultimately we have a human problem, not a dog problem.
And Ron Nirenberg.
Well, if people remember back in 2005 when Mayor Hardberger took over, this city was on the front page of every national newspaper about how bad it was in animal care. Under Mayor Hardberger's leadership, and then moving into the leadership of Mayor Castro, we have achieved some extraordinary gains in pursuing no-kill status for the city of San Antonio. I stand firmly behind those goals. I think we also need to do better, though, in our stray population. However, I believe that we can continue to pursue no-kill and also get a better grip on our stray population through better owner education, also some standards with regard to spay and neuter programs. I think we need to be better utilizing those organizations that contribute to spay and neuter programs, as well as helping us with adoptions and other stray population control.
Now, both candidates get 1 minute to wrap up their final pitch to the voters in San Antonio. And Mayor Taylor, you go first.
Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate your time, and I am asking for your support, and I'm asking for your vote to allow me to continue serving as mayor of San Antonio. If you examine my record, you can see that I build consensus, I find solutions, and I get the job done for the people of San Antonio on issues ranging from water supply to the police contract to delivering that $850 million bond to bringing rideshare back and Google Fiber and passing a comprehensive plan. I'm looking forward to working with you to meet the challenges that our city continues to face in order to ensure that more people benefit from the upside of growth and development, and that we can minimize the impacts like traffic and congestion throughout our community. I believe that we can do that together, but we need to have a strong leader in office in order to do that, and that's why I'm asking for your support to allow me to continue serving as your mayor.
And now, Ron Nirenberg.
Thank you all for listening. My name is Ron Nirenberg, and I'm privileged and honored to ask you for your vote to be the next mayor of San Antonio. This city can do better. You want it to do better, and we need it to do better. It is growing, and we need to improve on public transportation. We need to have a modern transportation system in the city of San Antonio. We need to grow great-paying jobs in all parts of San Antonio. We need safer communities, and we need more respect for our environment. And we also need a city that you can trust, where its public officials are held to the highest standards of integrity. Please go vote. This is your opportunity to change the future for San Antonio in a positive way for our children and our grandchildren. And I have been proud of the campaign team that I've put together and the campaign that we've run. We have stayed high. We have stayed in respect of voters to give them information and not twist or smear our opponent. And at the end of the day, win or lose on Saturday, we will be proud of the effort that we ran to look at the voters in the eye and say that we stood and delivered for this city. And I look forward to standing and delivering as your mayor.
This is The Source on KSTX, Texas Public Radio. This has been the candidates for mayor, Ivy Taylor and Ron Nirenberg. Election day is Saturday.